Okay. All right. So we're starting another series, a little short series. I was went through years ago, and it's a good one, though. I like it because it helps us to understand some things that when you're trying to help people, you don't always, you can't always help everybody. You feel sometimes frustrated. It may get you down or discouraged with one person that may have been a problem that you tried to help, and now you might lose your confidence to try to help others. And it's really just understanding people. So the series is People You Cannot Help. And today we're going to talk about the people you cannot help is those who don't like you. Now, Joe has great experience in this. His wife's been saying amen ever since she read the title. You can't help people, some people that just don't like you. I mean, there's, unfortunately, as likable as we all are, there are people in our life that will come across, job sites, supermarkets, neighbors, whoever, church members, they just don't really like you. And there's, they don't have, you know, it's just never going to change. You can try, and you know, you can try to say, well, I'm going to do my best to make this person change their mind about me. I'm going to find out what it is that they just don't like about me, and I'm going to make them like me. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You're just wasting your time. So there is going to be people who do not like you. We need to understand that. And it may be because they just don't like your personality. I mean, everybody's different. Some are very open, vocal personalities. Some are very private or shy, and those two don't always have a great time together because one wants to talk all the time, the other wants them to shut up, and doesn't work. Maybe because they resent you for being respected or liked by others, you know, because the position you hold or what you do, people respect you or like you, and they may not like that because they're not getting the attention. It seems maybe that you're getting it all the time. It may be because you remind them of someone they once knew. And I've run across people like that too. I've each time I said, and it's not a bad thing, but I said, doesn't that person, I was talking to my wife or somebody, doesn't that person remind you of so-and-so? I said, yeah, they talk just like them. They look just, you know, similar to them. And they're not related at all. It's just some people remind you of other people. And then if they remind you of somebody that you don't really like, then there's not a whole lot you can do about it. Every time you see their face, it reminds me of so-and-so. And so they may not like you. It might be because you may have offended them and not even know it. You might not be aware that you offended them, but you did. And they're never going to tell you. They're just not going to like you. Or maybe because you just simply rubbed them the wrong way. You know, there's just some people that will do that, or you'll do that too. And there's not much you can do about it. So Jesus refused to be discouraged when others misjudged him or his motives or whatever he did, and we're going to have to do the same thing. You know, Jesus went around, all he did was good. All he spoke was good. And yet there's people who hated him, despised him, called him the devil, tried to find things wrong with what he was doing. You ever have somebody that's always trying to find something wrong with what you're doing? And once they find something, that's what they're going to keep bringing out over and over and over again. Because they were looking, but the Lord didn't allow that to affect His ministry and His walk with God and His following God's plan. So, when we minister, or when a minister speaks about tithing, he puts himself at the risk of being accused of greed. When he prays for the sick, he puts himself at risk of being called a phony. But this could be anybody. When you're, you know, going about, like Brother Ed, a lot of times you mentioned that, you know, you'll ask some of your clients if you want to pray. They want to pray with you and stuff. And this is an offering. But you obviously you might have people that come in there that thinking, well, he's going to ask me to pray. He wants to pray again because he wants to show me how great he can pray. You know, and you're trying to help him.
I can't come in today.
Yeah, I can't come in today. That's right. You know, you're just trying to help them, but they don't see it that way. So your own family obviously can misunderstand your motives, especially when you were lost all your life and you get saved and now you're going to church and now you're involved. And some of your family that's still lost, they're not going to understand that. They're not going to understand why you do what you do. Your boss might not understand what you're doing and misunderstand you. Your colleagues, your friends may doubt, you know, your honesty or trustworthiness. It's just people will see something wrong with you even though there's nothing wrong. It's just they don't like you. So we can't be discouraged with that. We got to take time to help people who genuinely are sincere. But we can't waste our time and energy of those that just don't like us. I mean, we're different people we're going to be talking about through this series, but we can't focus on those trying to make them change their mind about us. We've got so many other people that do need our help, that do want our help. We need to move on. And sometimes like that, when you're witnessing to people and stuff, I've talked about that before, you run across somebody who's all they want to do is be argumentative, and you can stay there all day and quote them the Bible, and they'll still tell you their false ideas and ideology and other things, and you're just wasting your time when there's several more down the road that you could have been talking to that actually wanted to hear the gospel and get saved, but you're stuck with this dude. And you can't waste your time on that. You know, you want to stay there and just argue the Bible with them, but then you also realize that there's other people that you need to see. You can't waste your time here. He's just trying to keep you from seeing everybody else. So we can't spend a lot of time with them. We can't be discouraged. Others constantly misjudge Jesus. The Pharisees accuse him of being possessed with evil spirits. Matthew 12:24 said, "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils.'" And every extraordinary person has been misjudged. People laughed about the thought of a horseless carriage, and telephones were invented. People didn't think that was going to work. We've got things today that, you know, we see that we think were impossible. But, you know, you look at that and some people still don't believe that anybody ever landed on the moon. So there's some people are just never going to change. That's the way they see things. So Jesus never wasted his time on his critics. And Proverbs 14:7 says, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." So we are to not hang around those people who are going to be critical of us for whatever reason. They're just trying to discourage people. They're trying to keep people from reaching the goals and what they had set forth for them to do. Critical people are disappointed, disillusioned, and they have probably some kind of difficulty or pain going on inside, and they're trying to take it out and destroy others. That's what makes them feel better. So stay away from them because you cannot help them. You might see that what's really going on in their life, and you want to step in and give them help, but they're not going to change. You just might as well focus on those who can receive and will receive the help than trying to focus on those who just never will. But when we're talking about this, you know, there's people who have what's called a critical spirit. I had a lady like that in one of the churches I was in one time when I was pastoring, and it didn't matter what was going on, what was said, she always had the opposite opinion. You know, she was always going to bring up the negative. She was always going to bring up the other side. Instead of seeing the bright side and how things are going good and how God's blessing everything, she always saw the opposite, and it was up to her, in her opinion, to let me know the other side of the story. To always see what the negative side is. And you know, a lot of times you know what's going on. You want to focus on the positive. Well, those that are going to be critical of you, they're only going to focus on the negative. And they're always going to have a critical spirit. so we can't waste our time on them. But also, there's a time for silence. When Jesus was being mocked and questioned prior to his crucifixion, he was silent. He said, but Jesus held his peace in Matthew 26:63. Jesus did not obligate himself to answer his critics. He normally did not respond to people who were obviously trying to destroy him. You know, that's a good thing to know, because, you know, our first and fleshly desire is to lash out, you know, and make sure they know where we stand. And sometimes it's best just to stay silent and see what happens. That I've seen that work very well. Sometimes you just don't say anything. And they're still going off. You just don't say anything. And they're waiting for a response. And they're saying stuff so you will respond. But when you don't, it just throws them all off. They have no idea where to go from there because you're not saying anything. And so it's difficult sometimes, but we can do it. Keep silent sometimes is good advice. Jesus responded to the hunger. He responded to the thirst, and he responded to those that are seeking after him. Also, other than there's a time of silence and keeping away from your critics, we also need to know that you owe nothing to one who will despise you or your wisdom. So speak not, Proverbs 23:9 says, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. So you owe nothing to those who you that despise you or what you have to say, what you know. We get in ourselves in that situation where we want to respond. We want to teach them right from wrong. A good example of that is when you're approached either on the doorstep or somewhere else with someone who is obviously part of one of these false religions, and they're trying to they'll come to the door and knock on the door and ask if there's anything they can pray with you about, and that's just the way they open up their conversation, and then you find out where they're really from, and your first instinct is to tell them what the Bible says so that they'll correct their completely off the wall doctrine that they believe that's nowhere in the Bible, and yet they believe it wholeheartedly. But you remember the people who are coming to the door and doing that kind of work that you come across, they're the ones that have been indoctrinated with their false religions for so many years that they got down how to answer pretty much everything that you're going to say to them. Yes, sir.
I know what you're talking about, and one way to get through to them better, these are lost people.
Yeah, they are lost.
Ask them questions that make them stop and think.
Yeah.
You're saying this, okay, why?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they believe in works.
Yeah.
What about it over here in Ephesians? What about over here in Titus?
Yeah.
You know, ask them questions because they need the truth.
Yeah.
You know, I know the group you're talking about.
Yeah, they need the truth.
They're on my prayer list.
Yeah. And they need the truth. But those who are so indoctrinated with it are not going to listen to your wisdom. They already understand what they believe, and it doesn't matter. You know, it's good to bring up this stuff because I had a time when I was talking to one of them, and the partner they were with was more of a trainee, you might say. And they were listening to what I was saying, but the other one wasn't because they already knew what was going to come out of my mouth and how I was going to rebuke what they were saying. So I don't even argue with them. I do like that too. You know, just asking questions as if you're kind of interested in what they teach. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. But you know, you're gonna. And I didn't just yesterday or the other day. I get this thing in the mail, and I always know it's. I don't even have to open it, but just by looking at it, I know it's false information. And because there's no return address. It doesn't say who it's from. And when you first open it, it just immediately starts with random garbage. There's no, you know, you think we normally receive something in the mail and it's legit. It has like an introduction, you know, this is, you know, my name is so-and-so. I just want to tell you, you know, and it has some kind of rhyme and reason to it, something, you know. But those who have the awkward mental state, they don't know how to do that. They just start with the first thing that's on their mind. They just start writing it. And it just doesn't even make any sense. And they sent this little booklet, and I could tell they sent it to all the probably all the churches that aren't their church, especially Baptist churches. And then they had Marian Baptist Church, and then at the ink they put on their elders because they didn't know exactly what we have here, so they wanted to make sure they got it to the leaders. And it didn't take much thought to look at that and realize that they're just there's something wrong with their mentality. There's nothing in there that makes any sense at all. But in their mind, it does. I mean, the way they see it, the way they think about it, it makes perfect sense. And so when you introduce the truth to them, it's completely contrary to what they believe because they don't think that way. It's the same way with people, you know, that don't like you. Maybe they don't like you because they're just mentally, they're just not all sane. They're not all there. Something's wrong. And they have an anger issue or they got other things going on. And it's going to be hard to really be a benefit and a help to them because they're not able to comprehend really what you're saying. But, you know, of course, you know, God's word is powerful and it never comes back void. And we always want to give out God's word. But this is, you know, folks, so there's some people, though, we have to remember that we're just not going to be able to help. And we got to be able to move on. Do what you can, but don't waste your time when there's other people that need your help, that are wanting your help, that are willing to receive your help. That's where this section in this series is about, is that we want to help everybody, but we want to focus on those who we can help and try to keep those who we know we just cannot help from ever affecting us from helping those we can help. I hope that makes sense. So that's what we're trying. We know that there's, you know, we want to do what we can to help everybody. Just like Jesus, he was there. He wanted to help everybody. He wanted everybody to believe. He wanted everybody to be saved. He wanted everybody's sins forgiven. But he realized there's some that just will not. You know, when he goes to his old country and he tries back there to try to, you know, heal people and show them the power of God and everything, he didn't stay long because they weren't willing to accept him in his own place of birth and country. They just didn't want him there. Why? Well, they had all internal issues about the whole situation they could never get past. And when God can't get past those things, you're not going to be able to get past those things. So you do like Jesus and you go to another town. You just move on. Just go somewhere else because just you can stay there all day long and all week long, it ain't going to make any difference. They're not going to change. So you don't owe them anything. So don't think that, you know, it's your obligation. Just when you realize it, they just don't like you for whatever reason, you're just not going to be able to get much done there. So you might as well just start focusing on somebody else. So the other section here, Jesus taught the disciples to help those who appreciated them. So never remain where people do not appreciate you or your gifts or your talents. Even when lost people do not appreciate you or your wisdom or message that you carry, you've been given permission to leave their presence. So Matthew 10:14 says, "And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." So even when he was telling his disciples, okay, I'm going to send you out with the power of God, cast out demons, to heal people, do all great things in the name of the Lord, there's still going to be people out there that will not receive you. Even though you're coming with these miracles and these ways, and you know that you're from God, and God's giving you some power, ability to do these great things, there's going to still be a people that will not receive you. And when they don't receive you, move on. So we know if they had issues, we're going to have issues. There's going to be times we're just going to need to move on, and we need to know when those are, because otherwise it's going to bog you down and mess you up. So you may get off by yourself and pray and go back to another time, but you will not help whosoever, it says, shall not receive you. God has prepared people somewhere to receive you. But Jesus could do miracles in some cities, but not all. Why? Because people did not appreciate him everywhere he went. Jesus forced himself on no one. He was always a gentleman. He always was there to help when they wanted his help. And he knew they all needed his help, but he couldn't help all of them. He only helped those who wanted his help. And again, we got to focus on that as we're trying to minister and help people, is that we need to realize that there's times that we need to just focus on what's important and who we can help. So he taught his disciples to detach from anywhere anyone failed to see their value. So from wherever they're at, detach yourself from whoever did not see your value. So Matthew 10:14 says, "And whosoever shall not receive you here, or near hear your words, when you depart out of the city or house, the city, shake off the dust of your feet." Matthew 13:57-58 says, "And they were often, they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." You know, it's foolish to waste your whole life on those who do not appreciate you. And you need to get over it, move on. You'll never be able to help them. Anytime we're doing a work of the Lord and a ministry and a job that God wants us to do, we're going to run across these people that we're going to be talking about in this series. We're going to run across people who just don't like you. And, you know, you put yourself in a leadership role, a pastor role, or a teacher, or whatever it may be in a church, that can affect you when you have students that come in, or kids come in, and or people come in the church or whatever, and you know there's just some that just don't like you. I said, why are you even here? You know, if you don't like it, why are you even here? And most of them will leave, but sometimes they just stick around because they want to be a thorn in your side. And you got to realize that as much as I tried, man, I cannot get rid of Joe. I mean, I tried everything, and he just won't leave. whatever our ministry is, whether we're trying to witness to people, whether we're teaching a class, or whether we're involved in a church work or whatever it may be, we have to realize there's people out there that just will rub the wrong way for whatever reason. And whatever the reason is, they're never going to really be on our side. They're always going to be against us. They're always going to cause issues, but we can't focus on them because there's so many more people who need the truth and need our help and want our help. And if we just try to change one person to be more on our side, we're wasting our time. Just leave them alone and just keep serving God. And that's the point of all these that we're going to be talking about here, is we're going to run across several that you could say, well, you know, I've done that. I tried that. I tried to reach that kind of person. I tried to help that person. I tried to do my best. And I spent a lot of time, money, and years trying to fix their situation, trying to restore them to God, trying to get them right, and trying to get, and then that's the person who will come back one day and stab you in the back every single time. We still pray for them. You just don't have to waste your time on them.
Yeah. When my son was young, he was an atheist. I mean, he did not want to hear anything. And would flat tell you, you're a fool for believing that. I gave him the gospel. He tells me that. I never mentioned the gospel again, but I prayed for him every day. God answered my prayers. He put a situation where
yeah. Amen. And those who listen online, what he was saying was, yeah, Yeah, keep praying for those. Yeah, anybody that needs the gospel, you know, we want to pray for. Anybody that you can tell is having issues in their life that they need help and they need God intervening, pray for them. We definitely need to do that. Jesus prayed even on the cross for all those who are crucifying him. He prayed for them. But he never could reach them. But he did pray for them. So the point of it is when we're trying to reach people, we're trying to do the work of God, focus on those that can and will receive the help. Pray for the others. Let's end there. Father, thank you for the time we have here today. We do ask that you bless the rest of our services for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.